Hi, everybody. Today's chapter is Mark chapter 2. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered there together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus question within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who had followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins." One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him." And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." We're looking at the second chapter of Mark, and between the first chapter and this one, so much has happened already. As Pastor Chan said, the book of Mark is action-packed. The first chapter concluded with Mark noting how famous Jesus had become. Between the casting out of demons and healing many people, including somebody with leprosy, news about Jesus had spread so much that he could no longer openly enter a town, so he had to stick to desolate places. And even then, people were flocking to him. In this chapter, included in all of these people flocking to Jesus, are scribes and Pharisees who question him. The four sections of this chapter all include a question by the scribes or the Pharisees. At this point, maybe we can give them the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps as Jesus' ministry is blossoming, at this point, maybe they're asking these questions out of wanting to know what Jesus is all about. But we know that after 2 or 3 years, they hate Jesus to the point of death. Regardless of where exactly their hearts are, the Pharisees and scribes in this chapter question Jesus for his actions. When he tells the paralytic that his sins are forgiven, they question in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming." When they see Jesus reclining at table with sinners and tax collectors, after Jesus called Levi the tax collector to follow him, they ask his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Then, when they notice his disciples are not fasting, they ask, "Why aren't they fasting?" And finally, they question the lawfulness of the disciples plucking grain on the Sabbath. Many questions about Jesus' words and actions. And Jesus gracefully responds to each of the questions, often by asking a question back. For example, in the last section about plucking grain on the Sabbath, he asked them back, "Have you heard what David did centuries ago?" And he shows them that the Sabbath is made for man and not the other way around. Today, I'd like to zoom in on Jesus' response to the second question, which was about why he eats with tax collectors and sinners. This is his response. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." In these two short sentences, Jesus likens the sinners to sick people, and he likens himself to a physician. Now, implicit in the scribe's question, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" is this attitude or question: "Jesus, don't you know that these are the spiritually poor and the spiritually bankrupt? If you're a respected rabbi, shouldn't you eat with us, the ones who know God's law?" Clever thing about Jesus' response is that he is not saying outright that the scribes are wrong, but he just says that he came for the sinners. His response actually lets the scribes assume the position of the righteous, the people who are well and have no need of a physician. Which is very ironic because they actually are sinners in need of Jesus too, perhaps even more because of their self-righteousness, which keeps them from wanting to be with Jesus. Today, let's think about Jesus' response in our lives. First, can we remember that we were the sick people in need of our great physician, Jesus? No one is righteous enough on their own to not need Jesus. We all need his healing. Let's pray for this continual humility to recognize how much we need Jesus in every moment, that we wouldn't be like the Pharisees or scribes and think that we're righteous on our own. But let's thank Jesus for how he has given us spiritual life instead of death. And second, in addition to realizing that we were spiritually sick at one point, can we follow Jesus' example in who we reach out to? As his disciples, we are called to the spiritually sick. We're called to people like Levi, who was a tax collector. Remember, tax collectors were considered traitors to the Jews since they collected money for Rome. Perhaps as we pray and are on the lookout, God will highlight people in our lives who may be obviously spiritually poor or bankrupt. In God's kingdom, the poor in spirit are considered blessed because Jesus has come to make them well again. So let's join in on God's work in their lives, expecting that God can save them just like he saved us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. Jesus, we thank you that you came to save us, God, to make us well again, because we're all spiritually sick and in need of you. Thank you, God, for coming for us. Thank you, Jesus, for ultimately going to the cross to pay for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we pray that we would always recognize this amazing gospel in our lives. And Lord, we pray that in light of that, we would be able to to extend your love and grace to others who are in need of you. God, help us to see those who the world may say there's no hope for them, but God, in you, help us to see that there's always hope. There's always a way for people to come to you. And so, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to lead us, guide us to those people, and help us to connect with them and show them your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.